there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
Today we're going to start on a series about giving. So let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. Hear now the Word of God. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You should honor your father and your mother." And the ruler replied, "I have kept all of these since my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "There is still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." But when he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. Thus says the Word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that as we go through these verses of Scripture, as we go through the understanding that God has given us in terms of giving and what it means, from all that He has given us, all that we should then give back, just impress on our hearts the importance of the Christian community, Lord, of brothers and sisters in Christ who walk to do Your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you hold a very unique place in the world of giving. Because you are to give, what, your time. You're to give your spiritual gifts, your talents. You're to give your money, your treasure. You're to give all of this back to God. And you give not out of duty, give not out of compulsion, but with a grateful and generous heart. And I believe that when you understand what great gifts that God has given you, that you'll see how important this is. As part of the body of Christ, the church, you individually, you have been called to be a working part, helping, contributing, donating your time, your talent, your treasures, to move the body of Christ where God is taking it. There's so much difference of opinion on what you should give back to the church. Now, we all know your time and talent and working and helping in the church, and I'm looking at faces of many of you here, and you all contribute in that way. You all have gifts because God has placed you here for a purpose, that we are the body of Christ to be animated and walk out to do the will of God. We are the active body of Jesus. And so our time and our talent is important. But when it comes to money, when it comes to understanding what we should give, there's varied opinions about this. And immediately when you think about what you should give to the church, what comes to your mind? Tithe. The prescription of it is this 10%. So there's people that question, well, should I give 10%? Should I give more than 10%? Should I give whatever I just simply can give? Should you just give whatever you want to? See, the Bible is filled with giving words. In fact, over 4,500 times in the Bible, there is some sort of giving mentioned. Whether that's to give, whether that's something you have been given, something that you gave or God gave, the sacrifice that you make, an offering, contributing in some way or another, and the tithe. All these things mentioned in the Bible. Now that says something to me, and I think God speaks pretty clearly about it. There's two aspects of giving. God gives. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be here. So God gives, and we are called then to give. So let's look at this. What does God give us? God gives us life. We're here living and breathing in this period of time on this earth. God gives us life. How we experience life here and now, the breathing that we have, you're looking, you're watching, you're listening, all of that stuff that's internal to you as a human being, it's really the second greatest gift that God has given you. And we find it in the book of in Scripture. We find it in Genesis. We've studied that over the last several weeks. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We owe our very existence to God himself. So God gives us life. He's given us the gift of life. Pretty amazing. We live on the face of this earth with this time continuum that stretches way back to recorded time, who knows how long. And somewhere along the line, here we are. That in and of itself to me is amazing. But that's not the first greatest gift that he gives. The first greatest gift that he gives to us is this gift of our second birth as believers in Jesus Christ. That's the number one greatest gift. It's the gift of new life. It's a gift of relationship with God. It's one thing to have relationship on the face of this earth. It's one thing to understand and see, hear, feel, and touch, and all of that. And that's all good. But it's another thing to have a spiritual relationship with the living God that is real, that is tangible, that fills the hole in our heart. Why do we have this relationship with him? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone believes in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. The beginning of the Gospel of John in chapter 1, what's he say? But as many as received him, in verses 12 and 13, he gave them the right to be children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And in verse 3:3 in the Gospel of John, Jesus answered Nicodemus and he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The greatest gift that we are given by God is the gift of new life for those who believe in Jesus Christ, for those who understand his crucifixion on the cross, paying the debt for our sins in his own blood. And so when you think of it, God gives us the very gift of life, our living and breathing. He gives us the gift of new life for those who believe, this spiritual connection now that fills our heart and our souls, this relationship and reconciliation back to him. That's what we have as Christians. It's marvelous, isn't it? Amen? I mean, think about that. I mean, there is a supernatural reality to it that is the most awesome thing. And so in between these two, in between living life and spiritual life, there's this building up of understanding of the idea of giving and sacrifice and offering. It's what Scripture really is all about. It's what Jesus did and what he came to fulfill. 41% of the 4,500 mentions of some type of giving, offering, sacrifice, so forth, is in the first five books. The law, Pentateuch, the first five books of Scripture, establishes giving from God, establishes giving to God, the idea of giving, of offering, of sacrificing for forgiveness of sin, and sacrificing and offering for the good of the church, of the community of the believers of God, and especially the Levitical priests who were to be supported by the people because they owned no property. And so in this mix is where the word tithe comes. It means tenth. It's a prescription for giving. So the Hebrews were required to give a tithe or to give a tenth of the first fruits of their labor, production, wealth, whatever it might have been for every individual, the first fruits of it to God, which was given to the Levitical priests. This is so important, so I want you to think about this. So the community of the people of God in the Old Testament, 3,500 years ago, the people of God, the Hebrews that came out of Egypt, and the economy of the church, the assembly of God's people, gave back to the community of the church and the Levitical priests, the priests who would hold the services in the temple, in the tabernacle, certainly in Moses' time, in the temple in Solomon's time, who took the offerings from the people and gave them up to God. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 21, to the sons of Levi, and remember, all of the other tribes of Israel held particular pieces of the land. The Levites had no inheritance of the land. Their inheritance was God. So in Numbers 18, 21, to the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance. In return for their service, which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting, which had the tent surrounding it, where the people gathered, the holy place, the holy of holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. Now, the word tithe, it's only mentioned 37 times in the whole Bible. So out of all of those 4,500 words that have this idea of giving and sacrifice and offering, tithe is only mentioned 37 times. And it's always associated with giving strictly to Levitical priests and their operation, with the promises of curses or blessing, whether or not you complied with it or not. So in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, we read, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, God says. But you say, how have we robbed you, God? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me on this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. And if you know anything about this verse, the prosperity gospel that is preached uses this verse, that if you give, much more will be given back to you. I personally believe that is heresy. And you got to look at Scripture deeper. So now we look at this word tithe, and it's only mentioned three times by Jesus. It's mentioned in such a way that he condemns the people giving it. In Luke chapter 11, 42, but woe to you, Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and every kind of garden herb, and yet disregard justice and the love of God. But these are the things that you should have done without neglecting the others. It's a heart issue with Jesus. So tithes now is mentioned three more times going further into the Bible, into the book of Hebrews. And it sheds light on this giving of the 10%. So tithes represented a tribute and a recognition to the priestly office of the high priest to come, Jesus, through which then came a change in the law. Now, I'll try to grasp this. So you had the economy of the church, of the people of God, of the Jewish nation, was to give this tithe of 10% of the first fruits of all that they have, whether it was lambs or goats or cattle or wheat or whatever it may have been, back to the priestly class. Now changes, because now you have the great high priest who came, which is Jesus, who supplants and gets rid of all the other necessity of any other priest. So what's that mean now for this giving of tithes? So we read Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Now, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, which was a shadow of the high priest to come, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be designated according to the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of law also. I know this is deep stuff, but this gets to the root of what that giving and that tithe was all about, the whole economy of the church. The giving is through the great high priest, Christ. That's what all of that 1,500 years of giving by the Jewish nation to the Levitical priest, the Levitical class, was all pointing toward. The ultimate idea of giving through Christ. Hebrews 13, 15. Through him then, through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So we're moving away from this idea of 10%. See, the giving doesn't stop when Jesus came and now is our great high priest. The giving doesn't stop, but it's no longer a prescription. It's no longer the 10%. It changes. So instead of the Levitical priests, we pay tribute and recognition to Jesus Christ. Now, what is the representation of Jesus Christ on earth? Think about it. What is the living representation of Jesus Christ on earth? The church. Us. This body of believers. The sacrifice that we offer now is not lambs, it's not bulls, it's not goats, it's not wheat, but yourself. And the scripture reading that we had shows this change. When Jesus says to the rich young ruler, don't commit adultery, you shall not murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he replied, well, gee, I've kept all of these. There's still one thing you lack. Sell everything that you own. Give the money to the poor. But when he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. Now, you notice that what commandments did Jesus give him? Gave him commandments 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. All of this on personal relationships. So think about it. The rich young man was following the prescriptions of a righteous life. He wasn't an adulterer. He didn't murder anybody. He never stole from anybody. How often have you heard these? I'm pretty good. I never did any of these things. Can't I get to heaven? Because I'm working at it. I obeyed these commandments 5 through 9. And the question becomes then, was he worshiping God as he should? In other words, was he fulfilling the first and second commandments? I shall worship the Lord your God and none other. The second commandment, you shall have no idols before me. Jesus further elaborates, I think, on this meaning, this understanding of giving and what it means. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 and verse 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Because no one can serve two masters. For a slave is either going to hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one or despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. See, the tithe no longer exists because we need not pay tribute to the shadow of things to come, the Levitical priest. We pay tribute to Christ. And our tribute to Christ is in totality. It's everything that we have. God doesn't need 10%. And he certainly doesn't need 10% of what he's already given you. Not yours. He wants 100% of everything you have. In Luke chapter 14, 33, so then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all of his own possessions. All of your time, all of your talent, all of your treasure needs to be directed to God. Everything that you own is for a purpose. Everything that you own should have the availability to be used by God. Your house, your car, money you have, clothes on your back somehow, clothes in your closet that you never wear anymore. Somehow or other, he wants the totality of everything. Because everything that you have comes from God. In other words, you don't own it. You're simply stewards of it. You're caretakers of what he has given you. You're caretakers of your life. In James 1, verse 17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Every good thing. Job chapter 1, verse 21, he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there in death. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? So, beloved, your giving is no longer prescribed. There's no 10%. Giving is solidified and should spring forth from your relationship with God. In other words, you are giving and ought to be giving from a grateful and generous heart because you want to. You understand that God has given you everything. You understand that you are simply a caretaker of all that you have and own. And that it is a privilege and an honor when you give to the Lord's work. The 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Now, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly and not under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have abundance in every good deed. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be rich. That doesn't mean that if you give, all of a sudden money is going to pour in for you. That doesn't mean that. It means that your relationship with God is going to grow. And the abundance you have is that abundant grace that God pours out on you in your life to draw you to himself, that you can have a relationship with God. It's awesome. As a Christian, then, you hold, once again, a unique place in the world then for giving. Because you're to give your time, you're to give your spiritual gifts, you're to give your money back to God, back to others, especially the church, the body of Christ. And not out of duty or compulsion, but with a grateful and generous heart. You have been called out to be a working part of this church, or whatever church you belong to be a helper, to contribute, to donate your time, talent, and treasure, to move the body where God wills. That's what giving's all about, beloved. That's what giving's all about. Amen? Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we do thank you. We, the assembly of your people, gather before you. We grow to understand you better. We come, Lord, into your presence as brothers and sisters in Christ, where we have this awesome, great, fantastic relationship, even with the living God who has sent Jesus Christ, the Son of God incarnate on the face of this earth to live as a human being. And you talk about giving. You gave. You condescended to come as a mere human being, the God of the universe, in order to restore a relationship with you through the sacrifice, the giving of Jesus Christ, whereby his body and blood, we who believe, are brought into the kingdom of God. And so we ask you, Lord, to cleanse our hearts, to impart in us spirit of giving everything that we have and offering it up to you, a holy and pleasing sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children say.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.